Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get an update from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management Team, and Governor Tim Walz joins us to review 2020 and look forward to 2021. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Each January, we celebrate the life of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Dr. King's courage and determination to peacefully fight racism, oppression, and violence changed the course of history during the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s. Like any other great leader, Dr. King knew the importance of unifying people to accomplish one common goal. The collective progress made during the civil rights movement positively influenced the policies and behaviors of our nation over the decades that followed. The Minnesota National Guard strives to uphold Dr. King's legacy by ensuring soldiers and airmen from all walks of life enjoy the benefits of equality and diversity. By doing this, we honor a life dedicated to making our nation a better place.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Joe Kelly, Director of the Homeland Security and Emergency Management, which is part of the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, and he's also a retired Brigadier General from the Minnesota Army National Guard. And General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's a pleasure to be back. Good to talk to you again.
Sir, when we usually talk, we're talking about the springtime and what's coming up for floods and those type of things, but on this show today we wanted to look back at 2020, which was an incredible year. Probably better adjectives to use than that, sir. And then when we come back in the second segment, we'll talk about what you're expecting for 2021. But, sir, 2020 started out innocent enough, but all of a sudden there's a worldwide pandemic, coronavirus. Did you have any clue this time last year how busy a year it was going to be, sir?
At this time last year, Tom, no, we didn't. We had first received some inklings from the Department of Health right after the first of the year. They started looking at it in December of 2019, but no, I really had no idea. I recall going to breakfast sometime in February with my counterpart, who's now Cheryl Peterson Kroeber from the Department of Health, who's now serving as my deputy as state incident manager here at the State Emergency Operations Center. And we went to breakfast, and she said, you know, this could get big. We might have to form a unified command to help the state get through a response to this new virus. But even that morning, I had no idea what would go on. You know the extent of my Army vocabulary, Tom, so you know that I have a lot of words for how 2020 turned out, but I won't use them on the air. The one word everybody uses, and we wore it out in 2020, is unprecedented. And certainly in most of our lifetimes, it was a year like we've had no other, and certainly that was true here at the Department of Public Safety.
Well, sir, it's a family show, so I'm glad we didn't use some of those adjectives, but it was an incredible year, certainly. And can you explain to our listeners, as Director of Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management, you found yourself right in the eye of the storm.
Yeah, that's true. I found myself in the eye of the storm and the type of storm that we're not used to. As you know, Tom, usually we deal with storms, real storms, tornadoes, floods, snowstorms, ice storms. This storm, of course, is an international pandemic. And I like to joke, but it's actually fairly true. Everything I know about public health, I've learned in the last 10, 11 months. So we went from we kind of got flipped upside down, where we went from where we normally provide support to local communities as they recover from a flood or a tornado, to really helping expand the State Department of Health and its enterprises to provide the kind of services and support and really stand up programs that we typically don't have when we're not dealing with something like this. For example, I think everybody, all of our listeners are familiar with the testing program. Well, I can tell you that back when I had breakfast with my friend Cheryl, the state didn't have a community or a public testing program to screen people for the coronavirus. Since then, some really talented people, and I humbly played a role supporting them, have stood up a system that has two dozen sites all around the state and can crank out 40,000, 50,000, 60,000 tests a day. So I've been doing things that I never imagined. I would do in a field that really was very foreign. But a lot of the principles that we use for every incident have come to bear here too.
We're speaking with Joe Kelly on Minnesota Military Radio, and we always talk about partnerships and training. And I remember when the pandemic first came up that there were reports that the Minnesota National Guard was moving some PPE, personal protection equipment, around to get it to where it was needed. And lately we've got some Minnesota National Guard troops that are helping with some of the in places where we just kind of ran out of people, and we've got the senior facilities that needed some help, and here we are again. The Guard's out there helping their neighbors and their family all over the state.
Well, I think they would probably tell you the same thing, Tom, that they ended up doing things this year that they didn't imagine that they would do it. And you're right, and you mentioned personal protective equipment. You know, we had to move that first load of stuff out of Camp Ripley. They were supplies, masks, gloves, gowns, left over from the H1N1 outbreak, which looks like a little runt compared to this thing. And that's kind of all we had. So, again, we had nothing to start with. We used the Guard's talent with logistics and warehousing and transportation to stand up our own what we call critical care supplies, where we ended up buying a lot of personal protective equipment. They've been instrumental to the testing program as well, especially in long-term care. They took their medical professionals, combat medics, nurses, PAs, and sent them into nursing homes, if you will, sent them into nursing homes to help with testing when that was so important. And then, of course, when the disease became more broadly spread and we got into what we call community spread, we started having the employees, the staff at those nursing homes start falling sick. So General Mankey and his team stood up in what I think is a heroic and miraculous way. They trained more than 300 soldiers and airmen to be nursing assistants to go into these facilities and take care of our most vulnerable Minnesotans. And that's astounding to me, because these are not healthcare folks. These are rank and file soldiers and airmen. So they've done a lot, and they're going to play a big role here in the vaccine program too. So the agility, the flexibility, and the commitment of the Guard cannot be questioned, because they have been there when all else had failed.
So, sir, when we said you were in the eye of the storm early on, you were looking for PPE, personal protection equipment, and then you were pulling together various agencies and working with other state agencies that were trying to figure out where is this pandemic going. And then, of course, when we started getting close to the vaccines, then somebody has to say, well, how many are we going to get in Minnesota, and how's this all going to work? And you're right there at the right hand of the governor and helping him try to figure out all these things.
Well, that is a big challenge, and like any good senior leader, Governor Walz has made it perfectly clear that the number one priority that we are dealing with right now is to get as many shots and as many arms of Minnesotans as we can. It's a complicated problem because of the scarcity of the vaccine. It's complicated because of the guidance that comes from the federal government and who is in which priority to get the shot. So we're doing our best to support the governor and the team over at the Department of Health to make sure that we deliver those inoculations as fast as we can, because speed matters in this case.
Ed, sir, I understand you spend a lot of time in the State Emergency Operations Center, more than you expected in 2020. But when you're fighting as hard as you were on the pandemic and then another disaster of some type, another emergency comes up, that's got to put a lot of pressure on the system.
It really does, and it's the old adage, if it isn't one thing, it's another. And we've had that this year. In addition to fighting the pandemic for more than 300 days, we also dealt with two federal disaster declarations and 12 gubernatorial disasters for what we would call smaller natural disasters. And then, of course, as all Minnesotans know, in June and then again in July, we had some incidents of civil unrest on the streets of Minneapolis. So it has been an unprecedented year, one like no other.
Sir, 2020 was a busy year. We have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about 2021, and we hope you get to go home once in a while instead of just living at the Emergency Operations Center. We're speaking with Joe Kelly, Director of the Homeland Security and Emergency Management for Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Joe Kelly, who's the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, which is part of the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. And Director Kelly, I mentioned in the first segment the State Emergency Operations Center, and that's been around for a long time, and I know that the people before you were trying to find a way to replace it because it's getting kind of old and breaking down. I understand you had a few problems with the emergency center, a little flood and some other things happening during this long stretch that you were there.
It's been here a long while. I can remember back in the early 90s when I was a dashing young major, the EOC, as we call it, was in the basement of the Capitol, and then we found out that it just wasn't big enough to deal with a large-scale event like the floods in 1997, and we moved to rental space here and rental office space in downtown St. Paul. But we've been here, the world has changed, and we just need a state-of-the-art facility. Minnesotans count on the agencies that come and work in this place to make sure that we can provide and coordinate the assistance that they need and that we can communicate with them. And this event, as you said, I think this is day, I looked at the board on the way in, this is day 305 of the continuous activation. That is clearly a record. In fact, the old record is so far behind, we don't even know, we can't even remember what it was anymore. But certainly, we have learned and validated, really, a story that we've been telling for more than 10 years, and that is that this facility is too small. It doesn't have the right capabilities. We got challenges with redundancy, security, et cetera. So one of the bright spots in 2020 was during the special session in October. The legislature approved, and then Governor Walz signed a bonding bill that had $29.5 million for us to design and build a new state emergency operations center. It's going to be more than twice the size of our current space, which is something we've known for a long time. We got a size 12 foot that we're trying to put in a size 6 shoe. It's going to have all the appropriate backup systems and redundancies so that it truly is a no-fail facility, which is what you need. Every state has one state emergency operations center. Sure, we have alternates to go to, but we need to have one, and we need to have state of the art. So we are super excited. I mean, I came here when I retired from the Army and from the National Guard, kind of on a temporary job to help my predecessor go through the process of the pre-design for the new State Emergency Operations Center. We completed that, but we never got the money. So it's 10 years later. It's very gratifying to me that we can say that we are on our way. And I thank the legislature, I thank Governor Walz, and certainly thank the taxpayers of Minnesota for putting the resources into a very important building, a very important facility that everybody across Minnesota relies on, whether they know it or not.
Sir, I understand this is kind of a special day. It's the 6th anniversary as your appointment the State Emergency Management Director. Does it feel like 6 years? Probably feels like 20 after the last year, sir.
I was going to say, Tommy, after 2020, it actually feels more like 26 years. But yeah, thanks for noticing that. It was 6 years ago today that the Commissioner of Public Safety at that time, Commissioner Mona Doman, who's now a U.S. Marshal here for Minnesota, called me upstairs to her office and offered me the job. It's unbelievable how fast those 6 years have gone and everything that has happened. But certainly 2020 is by far the most noteworthy of those years.
In general, it seems to me, watching you the last 6 years and having these chats with you, that all those years you spent in the Minnesota Army National Guard up at Camp Ripley and meeting all the officers and meeting people all over Minnesota, that was kind of your prior experience set you up to have real success in this position.
Thanks, Tom. I agree. I think my service with the Guard and my time as a leader in the Army served me well. I mentioned that When I was a major, I became familiar with the State Emergency Operations Center. So, you know, I spent about half my career working somewhere directly or indirectly with providing military support to civil authorities when bad things happen in Minnesota. And I got to know the people here. And of course, I also took those relationships with me when I came here. And, man, I got to tell you, the relationships I have with General Mankey on down make a huge benefit, I think, to the people of Minnesota. The personal knowledge and the trust that we exchange has been remarkable. So, yeah, those 30 years in uniform, 30 plus years in uniform, I think very much prepared me well for these past 10 years with the state's emergency management agency, including 6 years at the top. It does feel a lot. I tell people that these last 300 plus days, in a lot of ways, feel very much like my deployment to Iraq. It's just constant challenges, issues, changing things. I'm not a guy that really likes to use combat metaphors or war metaphors for things that aren't, like sporting events. But this, in a lot of ways, feels very much like a combat deployment. The virus is an enemy, and it reacts to what we do or fail to do, and it's dangerous, and it kills people. And we have to treat it with respect, and we have to learn it and understand it, and then figure out how to neutralize. So a lot of that experience has really, I think has prepared me for it. The good news about this deployment is I get to go home at night most nights and crawl in my own bed and see my bride from time to time.
Good work, sir. We're speaking with Joe Kelly, Director of Minnesota's Homeland Security and Emergency Management on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, 2021, I think everybody's excited about getting the vaccine and getting it out to everybody as fast as we can, and hoping for the back half of the year to be some kind of normal like we used to know before 2020. What are you expecting? How's the year going to unfold, sir?
Well, I just what you said, I hope, is the first thing that comes true, Tom, and that we get the vaccine program up and running as fast and hard as we can, and we get as many people vaccinated as quickly as we can, so that some of the restrictions that are in place can be loosened. We can gear way back on testing and personal protective equipment. Our healthcare system can resume normal operations. All those things. Our kids can be back in school full time without having to wear protective gear. All those things I think we are going to see before the end of the year. I got a mark on the wall in August. I told my sister-in-law we were going on vacation up to the lake in August. So I really believe that we can get there. We won't be completely out of the woods by then, but we'll be in a much safer place. Right now, and I think we'll probably talk about it in March, Mother Nature so far, even though she's going to rough us up a little bit today with some snow, but the spring flood forecast and those kinds of things right now are not nearly as dangerous or challenging as they've looked at in other years at this time. So, yeah, we are looking forward to beating the virus, getting people vaccinated, and returning life to Minnesota and Minnesota to normal. That's a beautiful word. I never realized it.
Normal, even if it's a new normal, it's good, sir. And what you were referring to is our spring preparedness show with Homeland Security Emergency Management. That'll be the second week in March, and you'll be back with us, and we'll have a representative from the Minnesota National Guard and one from the St. Paul District of the Army Corps of Engineers. And hopefully by then the COVID will be on its way down, and we can talk about more normal things like tornadoes and floods and natural disasters instead of pandemics, sir.
I do look forward to that, Tom. You know, the main effort right now is on the coronavirus, but the rest of the world is out there and all the hazards that we face in Minnesota, natural or otherwise. So we got to be ready for anything, and that's what we and our public safety partners across the state do every single day.
General, we've been hearing from the VA hospital in Minneapolis that it's been critically important for everybody to get their flu shots this year. And of course, because of the social distancing and the masks and things, that's been down considerably. But they also say it's going to be really, really important for as many Minnesotans as possible to get the vaccine. What have you learned in the last few months about that, and how many Minnesotans need to get that so that we can get herd immunity?
Well, I'm not a scientist or an epidemiologist or even a public health professional, but the numbers that we hear are somewhere 75-80% or higher to get to that level where we can have that herd immunity and the virus won't have that many places to go. The state's making a lot of efforts to inform people, to get the facts, to have those exchanges of information to build confidence that the vaccines that are going to be distributed are safe and effective.
Sir, I want to thank you for joining us again today, and we got to get you out the door so you can get to your hearing. But we appreciate you very, very much, you joining us once again on Minnesota Military Radio. And, sir, be well and keep up all the great work, General.
Thanks, Tommy. It's always a pleasure to see you, and we'll talk again in March, I hope.
Yes, sir. That was Joe Kelly, the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management from the Minnesota Department of Public Safety on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to be joined by Governor Tim Walz, and we're going to take a look at 22 and look forward to 2021 and see if 2021 can be a better year. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
In 1983, legislation was signed creating a federal holiday marking the birthday of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In 1994, Congress designated the Martin Luther King Jr. federal holiday as a national day of service. This milestone is a perfect opportunity for Americans to honor Dr. King's legacy through service. Dr. King believed in a nation of freedom and justice for all. His vision was to create the beloved community. Dr. King encouraged all citizens to live up to the purpose and potential of America by applying principles of nonviolence to make this country a better place to live. I encourage you to volunteer your service and move our nation closer to Dr. King's vision of the beloved community. Volunteer at a veteran's home, at one of the VA hospitals, or an organization of your choice to make a difference.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is Governor Tim Walz, who is Minnesota's 41st governor, and he's also a retired Minnesota Army National Guardsman. Governor Walz, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good to be back with you, Tom, and thank you for the service you provided during a pretty challenging year.
Well, Governor, we're just trying to keep up with you and all the things going on. As you know, probably better than anyone, 2020 was a very, very difficult year due to a worldwide pandemic, and it had a huge impact on the Minnesota National Guard, and of course, you're the commander-in-chief of that outfit, Minnesota National Guard, and a busy, busy year for them, sir.
Yeah, it certainly was, and I have to tell you, Tom, that probably the greatest honor I could ever have is being the commander-in-chief of this force. You're right, 2020 is unprecedented, a global pandemic of proportions I don't think many of us could have foreseen, civil unrest in the spring in Minnesota, and just challenges one after another. But I do have to tell you, in the midst of that, like so many times in American history, folks have stood up, and the citizen soldier has always been the person that was asked to do that. So this year, I asked the Guard to do things that I, as a 24-year veteran, would have never imagined. I have been deployed on training missions, been deployed in support of enduring freedom, fought forest fires and cleaned up after tornadoes. But I asked folks, at an unprecedented, since World War II, we'd never seen it, an activation of the National Guard to restore order in Minneapolis. And they did that. The idea of doing that in the middle of a pandemic and doing it with the success that they did to not lose a single life on either side of that is a testament to the leadership and professionalism of National Guardsmen who, regardless of their MOS, were thrown into a pretty dangerous and a very important mission that they were asked to restore that order, and they did it. And then I think, you know, for your listeners who have seen this, could we have ever imagined we would be using rank-and-file National Guard folks to serve during COVID-19, whether it be help to administer tests, or in many cases, we've asked them when the staff infections collapsed at long-term care facilities, National Guard troops went in as strike forces to care for our seniors, all the while continuing to do their training and participating in their federal missions, whether it's Afghanistan, Horn of Africa, Guantanamo Bay, and we completed a rotation at the National Training Center. So, Tom, if 2020 was COVID, I would rebrand it as the Year of the Guard. That was the positive side of it.
Sir, they had a lot of state and federal missions, which is the hallmark of the Guard as opposed to the Reserves, who just have a federal mission. And as you say, they had a busy year with about 100 missions, and they carried it out very well. But we also had something else happen about mid-year. Our Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen, got an opportunity to go out to Guard Bureau and become a director at Guard Bureau and get promoted to a Lieutenant General. So that meant we had a change in leadership, and you had to choose another Adjutant General for the Minnesota National Guard.
Yeah, I did, and these choices they weigh heavy because they're critically important. The 13,000-plus women and men of the Air and Army National Guard in Minnesota, and most of your folks, your listeners know, one of the largest in the country. It speaks volumes that General Jensen was chosen to lead the Army Guard. He's a close confidant and an advisor to the Joint Chiefs. He's there with our Guard Bureau Chief, who sets on that critically important. And the good news was what I think we do well in Minnesota is General Jensen had trained leadership ready to go, and current Adjutant General Sean Mankey was ready to go. An Army aviator, a seasoned National Guardsman, but a leader that quiet competency and respect amongst the rank and file made it clear to me that that he was prepared to do this. And I can't imagine, you know, if people say, well, Governor, you couldn't have imagined doing this. Well, General Mankey was asked to do an awful lot, too, but I would credit my time in the National Guard and being around leaders such as General Mankey that prepare us to take these things on. And you don't get a chance to heads up a lot of times to deal with it, but Sean Mankey is the one who's there. He's led this force in the most trying of times, and the morale and recruitment and everything else that's an indicator how healthy a unit is, they are healthy, and they have done this. And again, there'll be books written on this, I certainly hope, and there better be prominent place in there for the leadership of the Minnesota National Guard.
We're speaking with Governor Tim Walz on Minnesota Military Radio. And Governor, 2020, of course, was the year of the coronavirus, and you've been dealing with it all year. The Guard is moved around some personal protection equipment. They've been helping in the senior homes. They've been training to for that state mission. We're wondering, sir, the vaccine is here now. We've got Pfizer and Moderna. And what are you seeing as far as how long is it going to take to get that out to everybody in Minnesota? And is there a third or a fourth vaccine coming to help?
Yeah, I think taking the last one, there is. It sounds like Johnson & Johnson, which is a one-shot regimen, should come online maybe by the end of January here is what we hope. And the answer is that your question about how long is it going to take, too long. This is too long. This is our way out of this, along with things that Minnesotans have been doing to slow the spread, the masking, social distancing, and quite honestly, the incredible sacrifice of small businesses, especially restaurants, that have tried to slow this so that we don't overrun our hospitals. I do think there's going to be a role in here for the National Guard. Just so your listeners know that we've had this vaccine now about 28 days since it was approved. Minnesota's done about a little over 200,000 vaccines that are out. But the way this thing was set up was those vaccines went right to the hospitals, or they went right to the pharmacies like CVS and Walgreens. And CVS and Walgreens were doing long-term care. The hospitals were doing healthcare workers, obviously. Well, this January, you know, first week of January, the CDC changed that and said, well, let's get everybody 65 and over. Well, we're ready. We've got about 2.1 million people in line ready to go in Minnesota. But we only got 65,000 vaccines sent to us. So we're working hard on this. I asked the federal government to release, along with several other governors, to release all of the vaccines that they were holding back, about 50 million doses. On Tuesday, we got the word that they said yes. We're going to use our existing infrastructure to try and get those out the best we can. But I think there's a role where we'll set up, you know, just like we did with testing, where folks can get online, schedule a time, come in, go down to their civic center, or maybe I think you might even see it in the National Guard armories, and get your vaccine. So it's coming, Tom. It's going to take too long, but I think you'll see our most vulnerable folks, those 65 and over and with some conditions, you know, by spring here, we'll be through them and working to the general population.
Governor, you served in the Army National Guard for a couple of decades. How good do the soldiers and airmen feel about their ability to be called up to state active duty and help their neighbors and their friends?
I'll tell you what, I've never seen anything like it. And the thing I think, and I'll just be candid with you, Tom, is that the leadership, civilian leadership, myself included, and those entities that are asking for their help, there's an expectation, and this is what they've done because they're so good. There is nothing that people think that these folks can't do, and that's pretty much true. But I said we have a responsibility to make sure we equip them correctly, we provide them a mission that they can do. We understand that when we pull them out to do these state missions, we're taking them away from some of their training for their federal missions, and I cannot have them not be able to go and defend this nation abroad if they need to and lose out on their training. So my confidence level in them, and I mentioned the NTC rotation, stunning in the middle of a pandemic. And just to be clear, other states, even those surrounding us, tried to do an NTC rotation, and they couldn't do it because everybody got COVID, and they ended up canceling some of that. The folks here did it, but the leadership and the troops figured out how to do it, and they went through that. So I'll tell you what, from Minnesotans' perspective, one of the best things we've got going for us is the depth of experience, competency, and attitude that the Minnesota National Guard is bringing. It is, there are troops that now have deployed to war zones, active war zones, peacekeeping missions. They have now deployed in support of flood duty. They have deployed in support of civil unrest in Minneapolis and St. Paul. They have deployed to give testing of coronavirus tests, and they've deployed in long-term care facilities, and they will probably now be deployed to give vaccines, all the while keeping their training up. It's a stunning story. I hope the historians in the Guard are capturing these stories, because this is a time unlike any other, and just as you would expect, they rose to the occasion.
Governor, we have to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to speak more with Governor Tim Walz on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Governor Tim Walz. And Governor, we kind of reviewed 2020, a very tough year due to the pandemic and a number of other things that have happened, and talked about the fact that the Minnesota National Guard has a state and a federal mission. You've called them up for some state help a number of times this year, and of course they had deployments all over the world as part of their federal mission. And, sir, I wanted to talk about some current events. In 2020, when General Jensen was the adjutant general, I think it was the first time in history you called up every available Air and Army National Guardsman to assist with some civil unrest.
Yeah, that's correct. And what we saw at the end with the death of George Floyd and the civil unrest that was triggered, it turned into to the burning and some of the things we cannot allow to happen. Peaceful protesting is something that our guardsmen and women will protect with their lives, which they have, but not that. And so General Jensen was in charge of that. His response to it gained the notice of the Joint Chiefs because of what we were able to do and not losing any lives in what was an incredibly dangerous situation. He was then promoted to be the director of the Army National Guard. So he is in Washington, D.C. right now, directing that guard forces across the nation.
And, of course, Governor, I think everybody knows that last week that there was some folks that went out to Washington, D.C., and it turned into a riot, a mob that actually attacked the Capitol. And so now the United States Capitol and is asking the Guard Bureau for some troops to protect everyone during the inauguration next week.
Yeah, that's right. Minnesotans, guardsmen and women will be, and air women and men will be participating into that mission in the inauguration and the peaceful transfer of power. And I'm always very careful, Tom, that the success of our military and the rules we have in there of not mixing politics with our jobs. on this radio station, as I talk to you as Commander-in-Chief, I'm always very careful to make sure your rules are clear, no politics, no swearing, and everybody who's been on here knows that. I won't go into that, but I think I've been out touring the state to our memorials from Wauseosia, where some of your listeners may not know is our last standing Civil War recruitment station down in Dodge County. And I was up in Duluth this week to visit our Vietnam and Korean War memorials on the USS Duluth, trying to make the case that our warriors have fought to preserve our right for democratic form of government, and we have a responsibility to them to get that right. And so that transition of power will happen. It will happen under the competent and watchful eye of citizen soldiers and a pretty large contingent of Minnesota National Guard.
Governor, on a lighter note, in 2021, we have an anniversary coming up, the 100th anniversary of the first federally recognized Air National Guard unit right here in the Twin Cities.
Oh, it's exciting. And I was out at used to be the old field where that flight took off. Three intrepid Army folks decided to get in a plane in 1921 and go to D.C. and tell them that that's what we needed. And that lineage is now the 133rd Airlift. The C-130 folks have participated in missions all across the world in the last 100 years, and we're going to be celebrating that. It's unfortunate that it's in the pandemic, but I'll tell you what, our folks are resourceful to get that information out. And I would just encourage your listeners to, if they don't know that whole story of how that started, it's an amazing barnstorming week across the country flight in a biplane to tell them that Minnesota's ready to have an air wing, and we've still got it.
And, Governor, we'll be using a whole show to celebrate that 100th anniversary to tell that story coming up in a few months. So we're looking forward to that.
I cannot wait. Yeah.
We're looking forward to that one, sir. We're speaking with Governor Tim Walz on Minnesota Military Radio. Governor, we've been talking for ever since you came into office and appointed Larry Herkey as Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. There's a couple of special veterans issues that we've been focused on and he's been focused on, and the first one was to try to end veterans homelessness, and you've made that a priority.
We have. It's a national priority. It's one that it tugs at our conscience. That folks serve this nation will try and be there to help. And there's a lot of reasons folks end up in homelessness, and a lot of times it's out of their direct control, but there's things we can do to help. And we have, I think, one of the most coordinated efforts around the country. There's been a couple states, smaller states, that have been able to do this. We're closing in on that. COVID made it harder, but under Commissioner Herkey's leadership, we've really been able to attack that. And it's in coordination with, as you know this, veterans volunteer groups and veterans helping veterans is one of the strongest, most American things we have. And so we were able over Veterans Day this year to announce the suburban metro area continuum of care. Those are those kind of metro counties were able to be functional zero on homelessness. Doesn't mean that somebody might drop into it. We know how that works, but there's a safety net in place and the mechanisms necessary to move them out. So we've got 302 veterans in Minnesota on the registry as of January 12th, the last time I got updated on this. And so we're reaching out one by one. We're reaching out to incredible landlords who are willing to help, but we're going to get this. It's imperative that we get those last 302 off the streets.
And, Governor, we just got a few minutes left, but I know that you've made it a priority to work on lowering the number of veteran suicides as well.
Yeah, in Congress, this was kind of my focus in the Clay Hunt Suicide Prevention Act and doing the things necessary. We still have too many that take their lives. And just candidly, Tom, we had one not very long ago in the Minnesota National Guard, and I talked to a heartbroken father. And what I recognize is until we end this, one is too many. And I told that father, I've got to do better. The state has got to do better. All veterans have to do better to help our sisters and brothers in this case. We lose about 100 a year still to this, and I recognize that COVID has been very difficult on people, so we're still committed to it. We're working simultaneously on this, but those two things of veterans homelessness and veterans suicide prevention are top priorities. The good news, Tom, is I know this is no surprise to you or your listeners. Those things rise so far above politics that there is a truly unified commitment at the state capitol to fix those things.
Sir, there are great partnerships here in Minnesota working on that and a lot of other things like supporting our military families. Governor, we just got about a minute and a half left. What are you looking forward to in 2021 as opposed to last year?
I'm looking forward to going to a Twins game and sitting next to folks and not minding if someone coughs on you, I guess. I'm looking forward to seeing little ones back in school and running on the playgrounds together. And I'm looking forward to folks being able to go about their lives, not being focused on, you know, drama around government or having to deal with a health pandemic. I guess what I'm really saying is what our veterans have given us throughout time, the freedom to live the life the way people want to. And I, for one, can't wait for that to happen. It is going to happen this year. It's going to, if we do this right, sooner rather than later. And no small part of that has been really to our National Guard troops have been a part of the solution. So I'm gonna look forward to that. I hope we can, again, I'll say this too. I'm going to look forward to us being in the studio together if you'll have me back. We'll do one face-to-face.
Well, Governor, you're scheduled to be on next on Memorial Day, but if you've got any good announcements, we'll get you on the radio anytime you're ready, sir.
We'll get her done. Well, Tom, thank you to you and your team for all you do. And you mentioned it. You're a humble man about this, but the Military Family Network is critical. No warrior does the job without the family support.
We'll keep taking care of them, sir, and you keep taking care of all those Air and Army National Guard troops. And, Governor, thanks for joining us today. I know how busy you are.
Thank you, Tom. Take care.
That was Governor Tim Walz on Minnesota Military Radio. Governor, we got it within about two seconds, so I think we're in good shape, sir.
Well, you're a true professional. Thank you, Tom, and thanks for the work. Yeah, I hope we can be together face-to-face by May. That's about right on the timing, I hope.
Governor, I'm hoping that maybe you can have a couple hundred fewer news conferences this year so your voice can rest a little bit. It sounds just a hair raspy.
God, me and you both. I'll tell you what, I'm sick of seeing myself on TV. If I don't ever have to do one again, Tom, that's a success. So glad to be with you, but take care. We'll talk soon.
We're pulling for you, sir. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Director Joe Kelly from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management, Governor Tim Walz, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we hear from our recently returned Red Bull Aviators and meet the team behind a special event for our returning troops. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.